you know, a deposit or whatever, and just put it up the front, and we will do it on February the 7th and the 8th. I will be back in Portland to run a two-day workshop, and that's what we'll do. Now, as far as training is concerned, my next training class begins in San Diego on the last weekend of January, January the 31st and February the 1st. It's essentially the course to divide up into two parts. One is the first part is for 3 months. That's where I go into the basics of reverse speech, how to hear the very simple conscious reversals, how to interpret them, what do they mean. The whole course is a year long. It's 12 weekends, 1 weekend a month. If you want to take the whole course, you get certified as a reverse speech analyst at the end of the course, you will have a fairly good grasp of the metaphoric aspect of reverse speech, which I'm going to cover now, at least skim the surface of it. So that starts weekend January 31st and the 1st. We also have available as a correspondence program as well. We videotaped all of last year's classes. You will get the videotapes of that if you want to do as a correspondence, and you're assigned a tutor. You do your homework, you send the homework in, you get your homework marked, you have full access to the to your own tutor over the phone, and the tutor you're assigned is someone who's graduated from my year's course already. We have a full-time staff member now who supervises the whole correspondence program. Obviously, I think it's better to learn it in person, in house. You get all the energetics and dynamics. We want people trained as fast as we can to get the technology out there as fast as we can. We also have a what we call a hobbyist course. It's a little manual and 8 audio tapes and a videotape on how to use your machine. I've only got one of these here now as a demonstration. If you want these, we can ship them out on Monday. They're $145 for all of this. This goes into the basics of how to hear reversals and interpret them. It contains hundreds of reversals to listen to. It's got snippets of my lectures and training classes, and it's basically a very cursory overview of the whole 12-month course. It's a good way to get started. People who have done this report back that they hear in reversal so much easier after doing the home study course. So that's that, I think. Any questions on training or seminars or lectures? Or yes, sir?
Yeah, I'm getting the impression, because I was just about ready to pop the Bible, like, before the time came.
Right.
With all this training stuff, I get this gut feeling that even if I listen to the machine without your training, most of everything's
going to
go over my head. I'm not
going to
hear it without your training.
Yes. Yeah, you will hear an occasional word here and there. Well, yes and no. I mean, I really don't know what to tell you. If anyone who runs a tape backwards is going to hear phrases here and there, some of them will be genuine speech reversals. Unfortunately, though, when you first start to do this, the gibberish becomes a mirror for your own face, and you actually, most of the new students, when they first start, the first 2 or 3 months will literally be projection and imagination. It's like looking at clouds. You can see shapes and pictures. I learn more about my students as to who they are from their first 2 months of work than I do from anything else. I'm actually becoming a little bit concerned. I only started selling machines publicly a year ago, and I held off for a long time doing it because I was very worried about a whole bunch of untrained people out there running around and doing it. I finally really had no choice. I was forced in a position of doing it because people were starting to modify themselves anyway, so I figured if they're going to do it, at least do it properly, and so I released this as well. I don't know what to tell you. I think everyone should take training.
One other thing. I understand that if I wait for your computer program, in a couple of months from now, that the computer, I could play it in for it, and the computer would reverse it and spit out the things, the reverse speech for me. Is that correct?
The software has been developed, is being developed now. We have got it to recognize certain reversals. There are a lot of bugs in it. I think 2 months has been very optimistic. I think it's probably closer to 6 months to a year before we've got it perfected and running. We've got software coming out in 2 weeks' time. Will maybe 3 or 4 weeks, but it's very... I've actually got the software now. I'm using it on my computer now. There's a few bugs in it that will turn the computer into a machine. The mouse button does the forwards and backwards, and you can vary the speed. That'll be. We're hoping to have that out by the time of our convention in January the 2nd. We have a convention in LA, January 2nd and 3rd, which we'd love to have people come along to. The answer is yes and no to your question. You know, you will hear a few gen reversals. There's a few tricks to notice. You know, for those of you who are doing this yourself, this is reverse speech 101. Relax and flow into the gibberish. Don't try hard to hear. One of the worst things that you can do is go over and over a phrase trying to put sense to it. That is the biggest mistake everyone makes, because if you repeat something over and over and over again trying to make something out of it, you will eventually project into it what you want to hear. The way I tell new people to start off is just put the tape in reverse mode and just let it go and just start to merge and flow with the gibberish. Has anyone ever seen those 3D pictures? You've got a series of dots, and if you look at it just the right way, you can actually see the image underneath. Yep. Hearing reverses is exactly the same way. You have to defocus your ears to hear them. It's reverse speech is both a art and a science. It's in order to hear them, you've got to let the reversals find you rather than you find them. And it's really flowing in the gibberish and becoming one with the gibberish and getting used to the sounds. In my training classes, I like people just to run the taste backwards for several weeks without even really trying to hear anything. Just get used to the sound of it. When I first started, I had to, you know, my player in my car was modified to play backwards, and I just used to listen to taste backwards while I was driving and while I was sitting at home and doing. I can see those two questions. I'll get to you in a sec. That's how you get started. You will, as you do that, you will begin to notice tonal shifts in the gibberish. Once you do this for as many hours, you will notice definite patterns in the gibberish. It'll stop becoming a sea of random noise, and you'll see waves and currents and oceans going, is the analogy I use. And as you learn to defocus, these phrases will eventually pop out. They really will. And one day you'll suddenly hear this incredibly clear phrase and go, oh my gosh, there it is. And when you find that, you need to check the phrase to make sure it's there. You're checking for the syllable count. If you think the reversal says this is an example, count up the syllables. Does it have what? This is an out. This is an example. Does it have 6 syllables? You go and count it out. Da 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 da. Then you check the consonant and the vowel sounds. Is it a the on this? Is it an S on the end of it? Does it say example or example? You know, and that's what we do in training club. We've actually got 7 checkpoints that people need to follow, and they are basically: is the syllable count correct? Are the consonant and vowel sounds clear and precise? Is there a gap in the gibberish before the reversal occurs? Does the whole phrase have a melodious sing-song tone to it? And then we come down to the science of it. The art of it is finding the initial reversals, learning how to defocus your ears in the same way as you defocus your eyes to see 3D pictures. And once you've got what you think it is, then we go and meticulously check it against these checkpoints. You need to spend a good 15 to 20 hours a week doing this, just listening to tapes backwards, and it'll take several weeks before you get even start to begin to hear them. It's not an easy skill to learn. It takes a lot of hard work. Yeah.
Is there a waveform pattern, an assigned wave that you can look for?
You know, it's hidden behind it. I don't know how to explain. I'm not a computer man. I don't know how to explain it. The program we've got, what it does is it recognizes the waveform, and my computer guy will be at my convention. He's going to explain what it does, and then it goes back and then it highlights the area with the grey, with a grey pattern. I don't know how it does that. Some sophisticated.
It just isolates the particular wave pattern of that section.
Yes.
In time.
Yeah, I'm not a computer man. I'm the wrong person to ask those questions to. So my computer guy will be at the convention. So, yeah.
Yeah, I had a question along the same line, and that is, have you had any real computer experts on voice cancellation? You know how, for example, if you're talking on a cellular phone, it picks up the voice coming from the other direction and cancels out so that you hear, for example, one of the first cellular phones, a friend of mine was selling it, and was absolutely amazed because he was at the racetrack. And a car came by at full speed right in front of him, and he was calling the office when this happened. And his boss at the office didn't even know he was at the racetrack. There was absolutely no sound whatsoever from the race car passing right in front of him and pulling full throttle.
Wow.
Because the noise coming from that direction to the microphone on his face canceled out and subtracted it from the voice that he was making.
I would love to get access to that sort of technology. It costs money that I just don't have. And
with that technology, what I had in mind was if it was possible to get a wave pattern with the voice recognition, computer recognition, and then drop that out of noise so that all you would hear would be the reverse.
I'm sure that's highly possible. Yeah, I'm working on a very limited budget. I mean, if I had access to the right facilities and funds, I reckon we could have the software out within a couple of months. I just don't have the funds that we... Okay, well, I'm interested in listening. I've got a couple of computer guys working on it now. We had a question back there first. Yeah. I'm sorry? I can't. The question was, when we get the software out, what percentage will it pick up? I can't answer that question. The first stage software will find the reversals where they are. That's what we're working towards. Then we've got to start teaching voice recognition circuitry to do it. But even then, you're still going to need to take training, because then you've got to look at the theoretical analysis of it. What does it mean? And see, only 10% of all reversals are straightforward English, like I've been playing you so far. 90% of all the phrases backwards are metaphoric, which is what I'm getting onto now. Finding the reversals, surprisingly enough, is the easy part. Working out what they actually mean and getting down to the work of the unconscious is where there will never ever be a substitute for that. You can never train a computer to get to the nitty-gritties of analysis. The computer program is going to be good because it means we can at least find them quickly and accurately. Then we can get down the real gutsy stuff of what do they really mean. Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, this is an unknown right now. You know, we're working towards it now. I'm just excited to have the software ready now that we will make the computer into a machine. And we've already achieved the... we've already got success with the computer finding or recognising the waveform patterns, but there's so many bugs in it and so many problems. It's going to be several months yet. Yeah. No, just have a strong stomach and be prepared to look at yourself. Because there's a lot of nasty crap down inside of us that we don't even know is there. Yeah.
Do you feel the intelligence community probably already has this technology, and that might be one of the reasons why they're trying to keep you quiet so it doesn't get out into the public? It's something they
want to
keep and use themselves?
I'm sure they do. Well, like I said, I lectured and I did a 4-day workshop in Washington back in 1991. To the intelligent community. They were very excited about it and said they were going to bring me on board and learn it and have me teach them all I could, and I've never heard from them since, which means they either didn't take me seriously, which I don't believe, because once you see the evidence, I don't know how you can deny its existence. I'm sure they probably are working on it right now. I've heard rumours all over the place about them being... about them using it, but they're only rumours. There's nothing I've been able to validate, but I would be very surprised if they are not working on it. So, yeah. Well, no, I'm not aware of it, but it's an academic question, because it's not, because what you're going to get, the verses you're going to get will be his reaction to the Bible, not embedded in, not the truth of the Bible itself, because... Sorry?
Are we going to know that without
hearing? Oh, sure, based on all my 14 years of work, where I've done this many times, read the written text. See, the verses aren't built into the words, it's built into the sounds of speech. And whoever is reading it, it's going to be their unconscious reactions to it, and not the truth of the text itself. Because that's just the way it is. There's a chap who's got a book out there called The Bible Code, which he claims is hidden messages into the written text. The Bible Code. I don't know much about it, from maybe some people here do. But honestly, it just won't work. It really won't, because it is, you're going to get the thought of the person reading the text and not the text itself. I mean, I wish it would work, quite frankly. Yeah. Yes? Oh, dear me. I knew that question was going to come sometime. Oh dear. Okay. Have you reversed Ed Dames yet? And is he congruent or not congruent? I'm going to get myself into trouble no matter how I answer this question. I really can't escape it. Yes, I have reversed Ed Dames. One of my students studied under Ed Dames, remote viewing with him. I think the actual techniques that he teaches are very sound. I believe in remote viewing. I believe in the science of remote viewing. However, remote viewing, just like reverse speech, I believe in the science of technique of reverse speech, but unless you know how to do it properly and unless you can keep your own biases out of it, your findings will be tainted. And I think Ed Dames has some very rigid belief systems, and I believe based on his reversal he is unable to step out of his belief systems and analyse independently. I don't think that he is lying. I have no reversal to indicate he is telling a lie or spinning a tale, but his reversals are fairly plain that his interpretations are heavily biased by who he is as a person, and he is interpreting his data through his own filters, and hence his conclusions are distorted from what is actually there. That's my answer. Sorry? Have I done the pilot got shot in Area 51? No, I have not done that. No, I have not. Yeah.
The other name that was mentioned was Richard Hoagland. I appreciate it.
Yeah, because he's not really telling it as it is.
As you just did with that
name. Oh, now see, that's getting even to more political hot territory. For those of you who don't know, Richard Hoagland and I are sort of developing an alliance of sorts. Huh? Yeah.
Now he's not really telling what he knows.
That's true. That is true. Richard is not telling the whole story. Richard's a very colourful, charismatic character who uses great pizzazz to get his point across. As he himself freely says, this is a good way to answer this, to use Richard Hoagland's own words, if only one thing of what I say is true, then that is significant in itself. If we can only find one artefact on the surface of Mars and not the hundred that I claim is there, then that is proof that there was an alien civilization. There you go. How's that for a diplomatic answer? Okay. Any more questions? Good. All right. We'll get going. I'm sorry?
Pen.
Oh, your pen. Yes. I'm terribly sorry. Okay. So this is... See, now... Okay, you can see my... hesitance and reluctance here in answering some of these questions about Trump. These are people I know and respect and trust. I mean, I respect Ed Dames, you know, I really do. And I respect Richard Hogan a lot. And eventually reverse speech is going to force us as a society to be completely open and to be completely honest. We're going to have no choice to go that route. But as a race, we're not ready yet. We're just not. Who here is willing to stand up and tell me your dirtiest secret of all? Expose the skeletons in your closet. My goodness! But how did you feel me asking that question? I mean, it's intimidating, it's threatening. And that's what reverse speech is here for. I'm not willing to stand up here and there's a few skeletons in my closet I would really not rather have out. And you know what? It's not because I'm not afraid to say it. It's because your reaction when I tell you. I'm going to step down several pedestals and you're not going to want to listen to me again. Because, exactly right, that's my point. That's my point. We as a race are not ready for it. We like to think everything is rosy and coloured and, you know, everything's nice and pretty. I mean, look, I just played your reverses here about TWA 800 being shot down. How many of you are going to do something about that? I mean, how many of you are going to stand up and march on Washington and demand the truth? We need a lot more than that. Yeah. We need a lot more than that. I didn't see any hands raised. There's one hand raised back there. Is that it for a question? That's because you're willing to do it. I rest my case. We have the truth here. What are we going to do about it? Yeah, and let's hear that question first.
Actually, since Richard Hogan was brought up, if you could regress a little bit back on that, since you and I both were there at that seminar held in Pasadena,
Richard is telling the truth. Yeah, there is. Richard. Well, we'll cover this briefly. I hadn't planned on covering Mars and the space program today. I really hadn't, so I'll just do it briefly. Richard and I have been doing independent research, independent from each other. We have not been sharing notes. In point of fact, when I was at the convention, it was the first time I had to see what Richard had to present, and the first time he had to see what I had to present. There is a very ample evidence to suggest that there was once an ancient civilization on Mars. NASA is fully aware of that. They've been involved in Mars at a far deeper level than what we actually know about. There was not just one space probe that went to Mars, but there was two in the one rocket ship. One went to Cydonia, and one that was the black covert mission, and the other one that we saw was the one that they wanted the public to see. Even where the spacecraft landed, it landed in the ruins of an ancient city. If you go to his website, you can see the pictures of it. I mean, there's an old engine lying on the surface. This is plain as day. There's bolts and nuts. As plain as day. There's wreckage of buildings as plain as day. The photos are very obvious. I found reversals that said NASA was altering the pictures so that what we saw is not what they took a photo of. And someone actually made a mistake in NASA, and for the first 10 minutes we actually got the real data back. And Richard had a before and after shot. This is the before. Here is this engine. This is after. It's gone. This is before. This is pile of nuts and bolts. Here it is after. It's gone. And so they've been deliberately manipulating the findings. Their purpose to go to Mars was there was a far more than just exploration. There is an elite group of people who are taking a spiritual pilgrimage to go back to Mars. They're using the taxpayers' dollars to fund their own religious purposes. Mars, according to them, is a place of birth, and we are returning back home again. There is a great evidence to suggest that JPL was based founded by a devotee of Aleister Crowley, a very well-known occultist. A lot of the Nazis at the end of the Second World War were infiltrated into American society. This is history. This is fact. This is documented. You can check this out on the records. And the SS, the Nazi movement, is still alive and well, thank you very much. And it is part of the shadow government even now. The Nazis are not dead. They are alive and well. It's a very common metaphor. I used to think it was a metaphor in reverse speech. I've studied, I saw Nazi, the word Nazi, begin to filter into American society in the 1950s in speech reversals. I always thought it was metaphoric until I saw some of Richard Hoagland's research, and it's stunning. We are fighting a secret war now. Does that answer your question? Is that what we covered in Pasadena? And that's what I'm finding in reverse speech. There is a whole power base underneath that bears little or no resemblance to what we have been shown on the surface. And the American public is being used. They're just using our tax-paying dollars to fund their occultic projects, quite frankly. Yeah? I mean, half of your paycheck's going to fund some elitist group who are still perpetuating Third Reich policies. This is not an area I'm comfortable getting into, quite frankly, because it's not what I'm on about. This is Richard Hoagland. Richard Hoagland is on about this. I'm not. This is, and I feel uncomfortable talking about it. My emphasis is reverse speech and the exposure of the truth. And I just wish the truth that I'd uncovered is not what I've uncovered. I'm just like all of you. I prefer to live in oblivion. I just want to live in my house in the hill and live my quiet, happy life and die in peace. And we all want to do that, and that's why we are no longer in control. I mean, America's not a democracy. It has the appearance of a democracy. And if you think it is, you're kidding yourself. It has to change. It really has to change. And I don't know how it's going to change unless we do something, unless all of us say, now's the time to change. It must change. In my lectures, the phrase I often use, I've used it here, is I want to start a revolution of truth. I really do. I want to start a revolution of truth. I've been saying this publicly for 2 or 3 years now. I'm still sitting in my place in San Diego with 4 staff members. And where are the troops? You know, I do a lecture and everyone gets all rallied up and stirred up and I'm going to change this, I'm going to come and help you. And, I got a death threat 2 weeks ago and what happens? Everyone runs away and leaves me alone. It was ridiculous. I mean, I was more isolated once I got threatened than I was beforehand. If this is the truth, though I don't think there is an if, this is the most incredible, powerful technology that's hit the planet in centuries. Why aren't we rallying? Why aren't we rallying? Because the truth is, we don't want the truth. We want to live in the illusion. I mean, if we were to believe the truth, it means we're going to have to do something about it. If you find your spouse is having an affair, what are you going to do? You're going to ignore it or hope it goes away? Or are you going to fight and do something?
Fear. It's not that they don't want it, it's the fear.
And that's how they're in control.
And they are controlling the planet with fear right now, the whole planet. We are being controlled. That's why we don't get up out of our seat to do it.
Are we going to?
And you can get rid of the fear. You can say, go away. You don't want it.
It ain't going to go away. It ain't ever going to go away unless we decide to make it go away. And I don't know how to make that happen. The more public I get, well, I don't know. I mean, I have great frustration. I am so frustrated inside. I can't even begin to communicate the level of frustration I feel. I need bloody help, to use an Aussie slang, and I'm sick to death of asking for it. So I'm talking to a brick wall. I'm so, please don't take any of this personally. It's just how I feel. And I mean, what's happened to America? What's happened to the pioneering spirit? Where are the pioneers who trundled across the West, and fought the Indians and braved the blizzards and Where have you all gone? What's happened to the American spirit?
Land is a degenerate and home of the coward.
That's not far from the truth, quite frankly. I don't want to insult America. I love America. That's why I'm here. But damn, you've all died. You really have. You're walking zombies. Yes. Oh, I'm going to... Please don't take this personally, okay? Yeah. Huh? I know. I think you're right too. Someone has to do it. I believe that day will come. I do believe that. Yeah, I mean, I don't mean this personally. I really don't. I'm talking generically. I'm using some hot buttons to try to motivate some people. Yeah. I want to get onto that now, too. Just two last questions, yes?
Just a statement. Thing, if you want to do something, take your TV and throw it in the river and start taking that back.
Most of us have. That's true. And one last one there.
So my question is, in your reversals, like from Australia and other English-speaking countries, have you found the same level of covert activity in public figures?
No, I have not, but I've only really done America. I haven't done any. Australia, I was really just fiddling around. You know, I found that reversal on the Prime Minister, but no.
But that's nothing.
That's nothing. Yeah, I know that.
Private life.
No, the answer is no, but I haven't really done much in any other countries. America's where I've done most of my work, so it could exist elsewhere. I don't know. That's my answer. We need more researchers. Okay. Quickly. Yes, it has. A good question. We have done, we've looked at the French, Spanish, and German. We've found that in all three of those languages, the class, I've got a wonderful story to tell about this. I had a student from Germany who came over from Germany 2.5 years, almost 3 years ago now to train with me. She's now back in Germany now lecturing. We've got a good groundswell of interest in Germany. She starts the first training class next year. When she first came out to train under me, she spoke very poor English, and most of her reversals were in German, even though she was speaking English. And as she was over here, as she learned to speak English more and more, or to quote her, as she learned to think in English rather than think in German and translate in her mind, the reversals gradually shifted over to English. And by the time she left, most reversals were in English when she was speaking English, and they switched back to German when she was speaking German. So I think it's the language which we are thinking in at the time of speaking is where the reversals are occurring. All right, let's move on. Let's look at metaphors. When I first began doing reverse speech, I noticed pretty well from my second year into it that there was a whole other side of reverse speech that I had very little understanding of. I began to hear words like wolf, garden, Lancelot, Satan, God, goddess, Camelot, a whole variety of unusual phrases. I would hear words like the warrior stabbed me with a spear, the wolf went and bit the lion. I mean, unusual reversals that were really quite out there as far as I was concerned, and I really had no idea what they meant. As I began to do reverse speech more and more and more, I began to hear more and more and more of these metaphoric statements. Most people, when they start doing reverse speech, do not hear these metaphors. They're occurring at a very, at a much deeper level. And as you get used to this, you'll begin to hear them more and more and more. But the fact is, over 90% of all language in reverse speech speaks in metaphor or archetype, using pictures and images to describe some very deep concepts. for the most part, I put these words to one side, not knowing what they meant. I still documented them. I still kept records of them, but I chose to concentrate on the English, the straightforward phrases initially to get a handle of this. In 1988, I had a well-known Australian psychologist to come and see me to look at my work. He looked over some of my transcripts, and as he read down the transcripts, he got quite amazed, and he said to me, "David, have you ever read any of the works of Carl Jung?" And up until that stage, I'd never heard of him. And as I later found out, he was one of the founding fathers of modern psychology. He was a contemporary of Freud, trained under Freud initially, and then went and started up on his own. And his whole field was metaphor. He spent his whole life documenting metaphors in consciousness. And I went and got some of his books, and I was absolutely stunned. It was like I was reading some of my own reverse speech transcripts, the images, pictures that he was talking about were almost identical to the deeper levels of reverse speech that I was finding. So I began to see if I could work out what these metaphors meant. One of the great things about reverse speech is that it is complementary, and by complementary I mean the forwards and the reverse are contextually related. They relate to each other. So I went over my transcripts and I began to look at the forward dialogue where these reversals, metaphoric statements were occurring, and I began to notice a very obvious trend. The topics that people were talking about forwards nearly always were where a particular metaphor would occur were nearly always identical. For example, if someone was talking about motivation or protection forward, you know, the ability to protect themselves or motivate themselves to greater heights, they would use the word wolf backwards. Like someone who has a low motivation might say, "My wolf is sick." Someone who was a good dynamic salesman might say, "I have a strong wolf who hunts." And then I get words like goddess. If someone was talking about their aspirations for the future, their hope for their life, they would say, "My goddess is looking." Or someone who had no hope would say, "My goddess is asleep," or "My goddess is sick." These are very simple examples. And as I went on, I began to categorize these thousands of different metaphoric images that I was uncovering. And in the early 90s, they all began to form together in my mind. And I developed the next stage of my theoretical work with reverse speech, and I proposed a theory that was not entirely my own. It was based on some of the studies I'd done with Carl Jung as well. But the theory I proposed was that at the base level of consciousness, the human mind thinks in pictures and images or metaphor and archetype. It doesn't think in straightforward English like we're talking now. This is the conscious mind. But on the unconscious level, the unconscious, or whatever it is down there, thinks in pictures. Human behavior is orchestrated like a movie plot. As I'm sitting here talking to you now, somewhere in my unconscious mind, a Roman soldier is standing on a hill holding a two-edged sword high in the air. The metaphor for sword means to communicate. A two-edged sword is to communicate with power. So I believe that I have begun to categorize and map what I call the metaphoric structures of consciousness. Every action, every thought, every emotion that you have is sparked and caused and formed by a pictorial movie that's happening on the unconscious level. What does this mean? It means some very, very exciting stuff. It means that reverse speech can provide us with the blueprints of consciousness. And it's not happening through electronic algorithms, it's happening through pictures and images at the deep unconscious level. So at this stage, in the late 80s, early 90s, as I started to get a feel for this, I started doing using reverse speech in session work with my clients. I started up my therapeutic practice again. For the first few years of my work, I was actually on unemployment benefits, and that's how I was funding myself. And then I got a government grant in 88 that lasted for a year, but then in 89 I was back out on the streets again, and I had to get some form of income going. So I opened up my therapeutic practice again, and I began to do session work. And I would have a client come in to see me. We would tape them for about a half an hour, and I would go and do the transcript. And I would come back with a very accurate map of the unconscious mind through pictures and images or metaphor and archetype. So let me give you some, and I can't play, unfortunately, I can only play very few examples because most of my metaphors are on my hard drive that crashed. Isn't it amazing how equipment goes all at once, you know? My hard drive went last week and now my laptop's going now. But let me give you an example of this. This is a very classic metaphoric statement. I'm amazed how clear the metaphors are. They are exceptionally clear and exceptionally rhythmic. Actually, I'm not going to play this one first. I'm just going to backtrack and play another one first. I had one to play. I'm going to do another one instead. A very simple example. When you hear this, you'll be stunned at how clear this is. And most new students get, when I play, you know, they'll do a tape and find a few isolated English reversals, and I'll go in and find the metaphors, and the reaction is almost, oh my gosh, how could I miss that? These are so clear, but they're happening on a different tonal level. Let me give an example. This is a woman who came to see me. She was breaking up a relationship with a very powerful, dominant man in her life, and I say to her, why do you no longer want to give him the power that he wants?
Why don't you like to give him that power?
Because he's scared to death to take it. You know, I'm not responsible for you.
Yeah. Okay, so that's her answer in forward speech. But in backward speech, she says, fed the great Caesar.
Fed the great Caesar.
Hear how clear that is?
Fed the great Caesar.
Metaphors are amazingly clear. Metaphoric statement. Caesar, referring to he was, in her unconscious mind, she saw this Caesar. Literally, her unconscious saw this man as Caesar, the Roman soldier. And she was feeding him, giving him food and energy. And that was her metaphor of the man. Now, let's go down and look at something a little bit more. The next reversal was from a man who suffered from low motivation. This guy was a great salesman, and he had a nervous breakdown and was no longer selling like he wanted to and came to me for help. Listen carefully. What does this reversal say?
See, the whole fall of in LA. See a wolf fall of in the lake.
Yep.
See the wolf.
Yep.
See a wolf fallen in the lake.
See the wolf fallen in the lake. Let's do it again.
See a wolf fallen in the lake. See a wolf fallen in the lake.
Now, lake is a metaphor for a sea of emotions, overwhelming emotions. The wolf is the hunter and protector. This guy had a nervous breakdown. On the unconscious level, his wolf was walking along the road and got a broken leg or something and literally fell into a lake. So this guy's drowning, can't get out. Okay? So you do a transcript on this guy, find out what the problem is, and you're going to get all these types of reversal. My wolf has fallen in the lake. My goddess has a spear in her heart. The eagle is hiding behind the hill. The eagle is a part of us that scouts ahead and sees the future. Sees a path for the wolf to travel on. The unconscious mind thinks in very rich images. We get in contact with these when we daydream or when we even dream. We have a variety of psychedelic images that bombard us. This is how the unconscious thinks. It literally thinks in pictures and images or metaphor and archetype. So I began to do session work with my clients, and we would come up with some amazingly stunning analysis, which left me with a whole new problem. And the problem I then had was, well, how do we go about fixing this? You know, I would, what this will do in a half an hour, in the half an hour take, we can bypass years and years of therapy. One of the biggest problems in therapy is how to find out what is the cause of someone's problems or issues. Someone has a relationship problem. How does that happen? I mean, what causes that? And you spend months just trying to track back in their life to find out the cause. Reverse speech would go right to that in one half an hour tape. It goes straight to the root cause problem, which is a dynamic breakthrough in therapy in itself. Now, how do you go about changing this? There's many different methods that are currently being used. Subliminal tapes, hypnosis, motivation, working through the issues, etc., etc., etc. But all that is doing is trying to change conscious thoughts and conscious behavior. You've got to understand, the conscious mind does not... I'm going to word this carefully. The conscious mind, per se, does not think independently. It really doesn't. Thoughts and behaviors come from the unconscious. That's where it all begins. That's where it all starts. And all forms of change techniques now, well, not all of them, but most of them, are trying to change conscious reactions and conscious thoughts and conscious feelings and never get down to the root structure. If you're building a house and it's tipping down into the ground, you don't try to build the wall up higher. You need to go and change the foundation stones. And that is what we're doing with reverse speech and metaphor work. The metaphors are the foundation stones for the whole house, which is a major, major breakthrough in the nature of consciousness. So then with my clients, I had a whole new problem on my hands. How do we go about fixing this? What do we do to change behavior? So I began experimenting with a few techniques. I started to take some training classes. I learned hypnosis. I studied NLP. I became a master practitioner in NLP, plus some other things that I did. And I began to fiddle around and experiment. Then one day, I had a brainwave. I thought to myself, okay, if human behavior is really formed through these pictures and images, what if we go into the unconscious? And what if we... Okay, if the wolf's fallen in the lake, what if we go down...